All right. Well, welcome, everybody. First thing I want to do, this is Glenn Barnes with the Brooks Group. First thing I want to do is apologize for having to do this by phone again. We've been working closely with RSOT, trying to get this set up as a webinar where it's going to be more interactive. I know you guys can use Skype. It's just a matter of us being able to coordinate how we get on there with the same system as you. And hopefully by the next one, which should be in early June, we will have that fixed. That way it's going to be much more interactive than just a telephone call. The reason we do these teleseminars, in the past, if you've attended them, they've been pretty much rehashed previous material with some discussion. The feedback that we've received is that we provide you guys a lot of tools, but then we don't necessarily provide you guidance on, hey, okay, I've got this tool, great, what do I do with it? I don't think we've done a great job of providing that information to you. So this one we're going to start off for this month is the using the TriMetrics effectively in communications and team building. Now, in the impact itself, we know about behavior styles, matching behaviors and all that. But it goes a lot deeper than that. When you're in these positions of leadership, it goes much deeper, and that's what we want to get into today. So the tools that we're giving you are also another place to use them is in your flight training meetings when you have everyone together. And we're going to start off. The first one I'm going to cover is called the Desert Island Handout. So if you would, go ahead and open that one up. Or if you've got it printed out, just refer to it. Okay, and I want you to take a minute, and if you notice on there, there's four different squares. And read over those four. And what I want you to do is when you identify one, I'm going to track them. You don't have to necessarily tell me your name. Just tell me if you're in the upper left, upper right, lower left, or lower right. Which one of those describes you if we were all on a desert island together and you had to pick one of those to describe you, which one would it be? So go ahead and take a minute and read those over, and then as you figure out which one you are, just let me know. And don't be shy to call it out.
Upper left hand corner.
Which one? I'm sorry.
Upper left hand corner.
Upper left, okay.
Bottom right.
Bottom right, okay.
Bottom left.
Bottom left.
Bottom right.
Bottom right.
Bottom right.
Bottom right.
Bottom left.
Bottom left.
Bottom left.
Bottom left.
Bottom right.
Bottom right. Got about four or five more people.
Bottom right.
Bottom right. Anybody else? About 10 people. All right, so here's the deal. I find this very interesting. First of all, there's a chance we would survive. Because we actually have all the quadrants covered. And how this applies to you if you do this with your team you know, sometimes we think, man, you know, I'm a high D. Man, I wish I had a whole team of high Ds. Well, that can be a problem. Granted, like behaviors generally get along together well, but they don't necessarily do anything new. This one, we've got a pretty even split. What I find extremely interesting is yesterday when I did this with the group, their cluster was in the upper left. So thinking about behavior styles, and we're going to start with the top left corner, wants to make sure everyone's optimistic. He or she wants to make a party adventure out of it and get to know everyone better. What behavior style do you think that is?
Influencer.
Influence. All right. In the upper right, take control, tell everyone what
dominance.
To do. Dominance. Lower left, everyone's comfortable, attendance.
Steadiness.
Yeah. Which one?
Steadiness.
Steadiness, yep. And then the bottom right is your
compliant.
Yep. All right. Now, I'll tell you on this. Every one of these is important for survival, correct?
Yes, sir.
I mean, if you got the bottom right, that's great. We're going to have everything coordinated. But if we didn't have the D's and the S's, then we'd have a lot of coordination, but probably not a lot of work getting done. We would know what needed to be done and how to do it, but who's going to tell them what to do? So again, this is good for your team to get an idea of, hey. It doesn't matter, if when you're on this team, it doesn't matter what your behavioral style is, everybody plays an important role in it. And I know sometimes that when we're doing training meetings, we look for team building. I know when I was in recruiting, a lot of times we called team building was actually what I consider social activities, be out golfing or something like that. Different foursomes, so you really weren't building any teams, but we had a great time doing it. So again, good team building exercise, but what the importance of it is, and the reason we do this, is to, if you use this point to drive home, is, hey, all the behaviors are important. And if you end up with a team where you're missing some of these behaviors, hopefully, at least in the secondary behavior, which we'll get into in a minute, hopefully with your team between the top two behaviors, you'll have everything covered. If not, it's great to be aware of it. Okay? Anyone got any questions on that? That's a pretty easy, simple one. I say use it as an icebreaker at a meeting, something like that, where you can just get your guys talking, get your teams talking. All right. The next tool now, these get into much more relevant to an importance. You can survive without the desert island exercise and never do it. But the next one I want to go to is the behavior discovery form. This, again, it's a tool. It's not mandated that you use it. But it's a tool that's available to you. And this one I think is really good when you have a new recruiter coming into the team or you're going to a new location and you need to meet the team and really understand them. This is a great form to use in a one-on-one setting with you and the recruiter. So everybody hopefully has a TriMetrics. If not, I'll talk you through it. Also included was a set of slides called Effective Team Communications. Those are for your use, and it guides you where to look in the assessment, but I'll help you through that so you don't have to flip back and forth. So first of all, in the behavior discovery form, first thing you're going to identify with the person is their behavior style, the natural and adapted. For those that have had TriMetrics before, which one do we generally focus on? Natural or adapted?
Adapted.
We do look at the adapted for how they're doing on the job, but the natural style is who the real person is. Mm-hmm. Where that adapted comes in and why we look at that, especially when you're meeting with them, is it can indicate levels of where potential stress could come into play. But their natural style is, this is who I really am when I'm off the job, where I'm most comfortable, and this is kind of my sweet spot. When we compare it to the adapted style, what we're looking for there is significant shifts in behaviors. And what we mean by that, not sure what page, I think it's 20, so going to be in the low to mid 20s in your assessment if you have it. What we're looking there is a shift of more than 20 points. From natural to adapted, or if that behavior crosses the midline, the 50, the what we call the energy line, is that 50 percentile. If a behavior crosses there, or if there's more than a 20-point difference, it doesn't mean they are stressed out. It just means that they feel like they're having to adapt their natural behavior a lot to be successful on the job. What we recommend, you're going to new recruiters, when they come in, they take this, they take the assessment before they ever go to, before they ever even get an ESC or recruiting school. What we recommend is after about 6 months on the job, have them retake it. The reason I say that is, think of it this way, if somebody was let's say aircraft mechanic, where everything's done by tech orders, very detail oriented. Their adaptive behavior might not be the same as what they're going to experience in recruiting. Now, granted, we have an AFI, but any prior aircraft mechanics on the call?
Yep.
Yep. All right, is the recruiting environment different than aircraft, what you did as an aircraft mechanic, how you go about your day?
Things are still detail-oriented, for sure.
Right.
I would say there aren't as many, like, checklists, I guess you could say, that you would follow in comparison, whereas recruiting, your calendar is kind of like, hey, I'm going to be doing this week, this day and this week. There are the similarities, but I would say all in all, it's kind of different. You have more free range, I guess you could say, in recruiting.
Yeah. I think probably you'd have to be more flexible. I did aircraft mechanic maintenance for a while. Granted, you work on different parts, but pretty much you're going to be working on planes. In recruiting, you may be doing from hour to hour, you may be doing an interview, a school visit, you may be meeting with influencers. Your day-to-day probably varies more than other jobs. Security forces, if you did a lot of gate duty, it's probably a lot different than in your recruiting. So, again, 6 months into the job, recommend that they have a new one. And that goes for y'all as well. When you go from a production recruiter into leadership, after you've been in that leadership position probably about 6 months or so, we recommend you take a new assessment. Because the skills required to be successful as a recruiter and the skills required to be successful as a flight chief or a trainer, some type of position like that, aren't necessarily the same skills, okay, the same behaviors. I will tell you, my C score is about as low as it goes. It's an 8. But every month, at the end of the month, I have to do the invoicing, and we use the government invoicing system where everything has to be exactly right. Codes, quantities, the unit of measure, all this stuff that I have to put in there, as well as the money, because if I try to charge more than what's in the system, it's going to reject it. I really, to me, that's a stressful time. With my so low of a C and a high D, I do not enjoy that. It forces me outside of my comfort zone where I really have to slow down and pay attention to details. That's not normally my style. That's not where I'm comfortable. But again, it doesn't mean that you or your recruiter can't do it. It just means that it could cause stress if they have to do it constantly. So again, it's just something to be aware of. So we start out with the behaviors, looking at their natural and adaptive style. The next thing that we go to from there is sales characteristics. And that's going to be on like page 2 or 3. It's right in the beginning. And it's going to be a couple paragraphs. And it's going to talk about, based on their behaviors, how are they going to react? What challenges might they face in a recruiting sales environment? And again, here what we're looking for, we want them to identify things that are particularly relevant, because these can be coaching points for you. One of mine, on mine says, Glenn should exhibit more patience and ask questions to make sure that others have understood what he has said. As a high D, I move quickly. I say something, and I assume that they understood it, and I'm ready to move on. Don't ask enough questions. May lead the probe step too early. These are things that, as a supervisor, when you're going through this behavior discovery, you can really focus in on some coaching things. It also has positives. Says I have the ability to tackle tough problems and follow them through. Here's one that is it good or bad? He will work long hours until a tough problem is solved. Is that a good or a bad thing?
Good thing.
Huh?
Good thing.
Good. 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 All right. What about these long hours? What constitutes long hours? Could it be a negative?
Well, if you're an ISR, long hours are 6. If you're a flight chief, long hours are 12. So it's all in your perception of what long hours constitute.
Exactly. Yep. And that's where you, as a supervisor trainer, have to be keenly aware of that. You know, if you've got recruiters that are just so driven and they're spending 12, 14 hours a day at work, that could raise a problem. Okay? Initially, probably not, but can they really sustain 12, 14 hours a day? You know, that's something as a supervisor, again, this is why we do this discovery, is find out from them what really is important to them out of what they read here. When I did this exercise, we actually used this at the Brooks Group. I changed roles in January. I have a new boss now. And we actually did this when I was up there visiting. And one of the things that I didn't point out that she did is says, Glenn needs to learn to relax and pace himself. And, you know, I didn't think much about it. It's great working from home, but it can also cause you to get sucked in. You know, answering the cell phone, the office is in the house, it's convenient just to walk in. I'm just going to answer this email real quick. Next thing you know, a couple hours later. Again, these are things to be aware of. So, again, these sales characteristics, have them pick out a couple of the most important. And as a supervisor, you can read through their reports. You have access to the reports. Either get it from them or let RSLT know. They will send you a copy. And you can read up on your people as well, okay? The next section that we go to is next in the book. It's going to be somewhere around page 5 or so, and it's value to the organization. Important thing here is all these are positive statements. Everybody has value, okay? Nobody, I promise you, nobody's page is blank on this page, okay? It doesn't matter what your behavior style is. You bring something to the team, kind of like we discovered on the Desert Island handout. Some of you are going to be great at scheduling and getting everything set up. One of you was going to make sure that everyone had a good time. I think I was the only one that set up it right. I was going to make sure the work got done. So everyone brings value. What we ask you to do here is have them pick out two of the most important statements, all right? Because sometimes when they're struggling, if they're struggling bad and it's not because they're not doing the right things, it's because they're new, they're still learning, they may start getting frustrated. These are good to know what they think is important and the value that they bring, where you can bring them back to this, okay, as a motivating factor. Is, hey, you know what, we talked when you first got here and you said one of the two things about the value that you bring is you are tenacious. And that happens to be one of the words. You know, hey, you're new, you're learning, you're doing the right things. We're going to work together. We're going to get you better. But just remember that tenacity. You know, you said that's what you bring. That's what you just have to keep at it. So, again, this value to the organization. The other place where this is valuable as a leader is sometimes people are going to tell you that, hey, this assessment is not, this is not me. This is not who I am, okay? Three things to keep in mind here. One is that no assessment is 100%. If there's a couple things that they just don't agree with, and, you know, it's not that big of a deal, it's like, okay, that's fine. If you don't think that's you, don't worry about it, okay? However, that can also be a blind spot. So what I would recommend, and I learned this because I was one of those when we first did this in 2001 that told Mr. Brooks, I said, you know, this really, a lot of this isn't really who I am. And he asked me, he said, are you married? And I was like, yeah. He goes, how long? And I said, 20 years. He said, do me a favor, take this home, have your wife read it, and see what she thinks. My wife was nearly crying, laughing at how true it was about me. And there were parts of it I was nearly offended because I'm like, really, I'm like that? I never saw it. So it can be a blind spot, okay? The last thing is, you can ask them, you know, did they really put the time and effort into the assessment? The instructions specifically said, you know, clear your calendar, don't take interruptions, you know, don't take phone calls, walk-ins. Do it where you can do it from start to finish, and you can focus on this. Believe it or not, that is, we can look at the times of how long someone spent in different sections, and I can see why they feel it's skewed because they get distracted with something else. So, again, those are really the three things. One is it may not be 100% accurate, or it could be a blind spot. They may have not completely focused on it, and no assessment in the world is 100% accurate. But if they are adamant that this is not really who they are, a couple of you, look at your statements under value to the organization on page 5 of your assessment, if you got it, and tell me what those statements have in common. Are they positive, negative, or neutral?
Positive.
Positive.
Yeah, they're all positive, okay? So what are most, if you ask somebody, hey, does that describe you, what are most people going to say?
Yes.
Yeah, that's me. I look at mine. One of mine is, maybe it's just the way it's worded, says accomplishes goals through people. I look at that as negative. So like it's merely implying I use people. That's probably not what it means. But the other ones, though, every one of them I agree with. Okay? So So by doing this early, you can also get some buy-in. So when we get to the part about areas for improvement, and they say, oh, none of that applies to me, say, wait a minute, you know, everything about your value you agreed with, and now all of a sudden this isn't accurate, what's going on? And that you can have that discussion with them without being confrontational, obviously. All right, so the value to the organization, find out a couple things that are most important to them, write them down. All right, next is probably, to me, the most important part as a leader is the communication. There are different studies, and some of them show as high as 90% of conflict in the workplace among teams is caused by a lack of communications or miscommunication. Does your experience tell you that that's probably pretty true? Is that most work conflict is communication or miscommunication?
And emotional intelligence.
Yeah, emotional intelligence plays a key role. You're right.
Communication.
It's huge. This is probably, and hopefully you do this with your people, even if you don't go through the whole sales characteristic value to the organization you provide them, have them read through the checklist for communicating sections. Should be somewhere around page 6-7, somewhere in there. The first page is things to do. These are the ways that, hey, this is the best way to communicate with me. Pick out about the two most important. Mine that are checked off in my book from when I did it was stick to business, let me decide if I want to talk socially, and present facts logically and plan your presentation efficiently. Those two are the most important to me. The next page, though, is just as important, maybe more so, is things to avoid when communicating. All right, so ways not to communicate. If someone comes to you and they are not communicating in a way that you like to communicate, what do you normally do? You may not say it out loud, but what do you mentally do?
Wander.
Shut down. Turn them off. You know, however you want to word it. You're not there with them, right?
Hey, what were we talking about?
Huh?
Bad joke.
I got it. Took me a second, but I got it. So ways not to communicate can even be more important than how to communicate. Like a mind, the two that I have is ramble on or waste time and be redundant. You know, you will lose me and lose me quickly. You know, there's some other ones on here that probably are important, but those two are the most important. That is the quickest. So, again, have them write down a couple. And as a boss, a supervisor, coach, whatever, however you want to look at yourself, because you play many, many roles, let your team know this about you, too. If nothing else from your assessment, let them know about the communication. Any of you remember Chief Whiteley? F.B. Whiteley, Texas boy.
Yep. Sir.
I never worked for him, but when he was at the headquarters, I found this out. He is a high D and a high I, which can be troublesome sometimes. But how he would answer his phone when his recruiters called was one of two ways. One, he would say, hey, how's it going? The other would be, what do you want? Now, if he answered the phone, hey, how's it going? What do you think that was an invitation to do?
Talk to him.
Small talk. Yeah, small talk, social. Yeah, he's got some time. Hey, if he answers the phone, hey, what do you need? Or what do you want? What would that tell you?
Nothing. Time to hang up.
Let's get down to business. What is it? Be bright, be bright, be brief, and be gone. So again, this is important for your recruiters to understand, because if you are a high C, a high D, and you have a high I who likes that social, small talk, warm fuzzies, things like that, that probably doesn't appeal to you as much. And it can frustrate you, but if you let them know right away that, hey, you know what, I understand, and this is in that one-on-one, I understand that, you know, you like the social, we like to talk. Let them know, hey, I will make time for that to happen, and then actually do it. Force yourself to spend some time with small talk with them occasionally. But let them know up front that, hey, every time you guys talk, you're not going to have time to talk about the weather in every sports game that was played last night. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Sir.
Yep.
All right. Moving on, the next one we go over perceptions. This one we really don't get this in school much. I think they touch on it, but very, very lightly. Sergeant DeVay, you can correct me if I'm wrong. On the perceptions, that's not really covered at the school, is it?
No, you're right. It's not really covered at the school.
Okay, you guys got a touch. All right. But here's what's important. In the schoolhouse, it's really not that important.
Right.
On the job, it's going to be important, okay? On the job, it's going to be important. There's three blocks there. Self-perception, others' perceptions of you when you're under moderate pressure, and others' perception of you when you're under extreme pressure, okay? So again, yourself, what's the key thing about perceptions? Is it factual?
Isn't it different for everybody?
It's different for everybody, but is it always based in fact, perceptions?
Oh, not at all.
No.
No.
No. Mm-mm. You know, we could all look at the same picture and probably come up with different responses to what it means because of our perception. This is where this is going to be important for your recruiters to understand, is they've really got to be able to watch themselves. Like self-perception of me, I've got pioneering, competitive, positive, assertive, confident, winner. Okay? I would say that's pretty accurate. Huh?
I said we're twins.
All right. You got to be a very high B, too, then.
Off the charts.
Off the chart, okay. All right, that's where that comes from. But now if you go down and you look at moderate and extreme, this is how other people may see you. I mean, when we get to under extreme pressure, man, I would hate to know people think of me this way, but I'm sure there are some that do. It says abrasive, arbitrary, controlling, opinionated, yeah, I knew that. That's not a surprise. But abrasive and arbitrary kind of shocked me. Why this is so important for your recruiters is, as we talked about, their days are going to vary drastically what's going on. Okay? They may have an appointment coming in at 11 o'clock, and at 10:45, they get a call from MEPS that a guy they were counting on that was good to go all of a sudden is medically DQ'd, okay? And they needed that person to make goal this month, and they have nobody else. Do you think they're going to be under a little bit of pressure when they get that message?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
They'll go back to being a traditional
recruiter. Yeah. It's going to affect them. They've got that applicant coming in at 11, they may, on the surface, or their perception is, okay, I've put it aside, but if it's bothering them while they're doing this interview, do you think the applicant or the lead they're meeting with is probably going to be able to sense something? Can you guys sense something when your recruiters are under pressure and you're talking to them? Are they a little bit different?
Yep. Of course, but that's kind of, you know, so like using that example that you used of, you know, 1 month they're going to miss school, but that's where we step in and we got to let them know that, hey, you overproduced last month, goal X, Y, and Z, you're ahead, right? So that's where the leadership part of this comes in knowing and allowing them to trust you and you trust them that they're putting in all the effort, and it's okay to lose one at MEPS and miss goal 1 month. It's just you got to step it up next month, right? So it's building that trust and rapport with your recruiters as well so that they trust you.
Yep, absolutely. You're dead on it. Yep. And that's how you can help minimize some of that moderate and extreme pressure. What you just explained beautifully is how you can relieve some of that moderate and extreme pressure so that others' perceptions of them don't cross into some of these more negative things. But it's important for them to be aware of that, hey, you know, if you get under extreme pressure, you may not see it, but others might see this in you. So you've got to be aware of it. You know, if, you know, if things are tough, hey, come see me, come talk to me. We'll figure it out. Okay. All right. Selling tips. This one, I like this one, mainly as a refresher. What this does is based on the individual's behavior style, okay?
Okay.
These tell them things to do and not do with other behavior styles. The top left one is your C. Top right is D. Bottom left is S. And bottom right is I. I have actually a sales call tomorrow, a video call, with General Service Administration, GSA. And in previous conversations, I have identified that the person that I'm going to be dealing with, one of them is a high I, and one of them is probably a high S, potentially some C. Okay? I'm a high D. So I am really going to have to look, you know, review this again tomorrow right before the call, and I'll be looking at that. Okay, I've got to make sure I'm warm and friendly. That's not me normally. Don't get into all sorts of details and ask feeling questions to draw out their opinions or comments. I'm going to have to really focus on asking questions and getting feedback and shutting up and listening, which is hard for a high D. Okay? So, the selling tips, again, I wouldn't spend a lot of time here, but let your recruiters know how these are used. And if they make a copy of this page to keep in their desk, great. They can refer to it before an appointment, you know, especially if they've already talked to the person. And they know, okay, this person's probably going to be a high D, so I need to make sure I'm clear, specific, brief, to the point, stick to business, don't try to get overly on the build trust rapport, don't start talking about the weather and stuff like that, trying to find common ground. Let them do that if they want to, but stick, you know, try to get to business. So these are good pointers for dealing with each of the behavioral styles, okay? Any questions on that? All right, the last one before the improvement part is the most, is generally where you're going to get the most pushback because it's called areas for improvement, which indicates that they're not perfect. Some people are okay and they know that. Other people are like, really? I've got areas to improve in? Again, Have them identify two of the areas for improvement, okay? What's the importance of them identifying it versus you telling them?
This is coming from their mouth, you know, not yours. This is what they feel, not what you feel or think.
Yeah. They got the buy-in right away. If they say that like mine, one of that I've got marked is have trouble delegating, can't wait, so I do it myself. The other one is being so concerned with the big picture, I forget to see the little pieces. There's different tools, resources available that can help with some of these different things. So again, let them identify where they see their areas of improvement, and where this is really helpful is especially when you're watching them sell, okay? If they've identified some areas that where they want to improve, my first one says be a one-way communicator. Don't listen to the total story before introducing his opinion. If you were my boss, where would you really want to pay attention to my sales process? Don't listen to the total story before introducing my opinion. What do I probably not do well?
Probe.
Exactly. I would have a tendency to ask one or two questions and say, okay, I got it. Here's what we need to do. Let's do it. Okay? So, again, these can be flags for you to really watch in their sales, in their interviews. If you have an high eye, you may find out that their meet step lasts 30 minutes, 45 minutes, especially if they have another high eye with them. Hell, it might last 2 hours. And they're still on trust and rapport and haven't even asked a question yet. But they're having the best time in the world doing it. Again, as a manager, supervisor, trainer, these are things that can help key areas that you can really watch for in the sales interview. I know, luckily, I'm very self-aware of these things, and I have to force myself to the point of discomfort sometimes, especially if I've got like one or two, because we say at least three. If I've got one or two really pressing needs of a client, I'm ready to go right into the apply step and solve the problem for them. So I've got to really be aware of that. The notes section is where you can document follow-ups, steps they're going to take, resources, different things like that, action plan, whatever. Someone yesterday made a really, really good idea. Another place to use this is during their feedback session. I had never thought of it that way. I could see where there could be value. But again, this is a tool for you guys to use. This is not going to be a self-inspection checklist item. Okay, it is a tool available to you. All right, and then the last one I want to cover is this is the communication matrix. This is a great one to use in a training meeting or, maybe an hour in the morning on a Friday morning before you get your day rolling, you got everyone together, or an hour on Saturday at a UTA, whenever you guys got them all together. Because it's not only you and the recruiter that have to have the communications, it's communications between the team. And it's important for them to understand that, okay? They may not talk to each other a lot, but when they do, it's important to understand who your teammates are. So this is very easy to use, probably self-explanatory since we went over everything except for the motivators, the last item. Basically, everybody gets one of these sheets, okay? At the top, the team member name, initials, however they want to identify them, and then go around the room and have everyone identify. Natural behavior style, looking for the top two. Generally, how we do it is the highest one is the first letter, so I'm a DI. My highest is dominance followed by influence. So for everybody, so Joe says I'm a DI, so in there I've got Joe's name up at top, Natural Behavior Style DI, and then I go to Tom. He's a FC, Mary, she's an ID. They just go across and do that for everyone on the team. Then the value to the organization. What do they think? What is the value that they bring? Okay. Ways to communicate, top two or three for everybody. Ways not to communicate, the top two or three for everybody. Have, you know, just round, keep going around the room. Their areas for improvement. What they're going to find is you may have a couple people that had the same area for improvement. They can help themselves. You may also find that one of your more experienced recruiters is really good in an area, and that's an area of improvement for one of your younger recruiters. So they can help them out, kind of mentor them in that area. Not officially as a training, especially if they don't hold any responsibility. Because then you get into the whole, yeah, well, I spent all this time with this recruiter, and that's why I missed gold. But, I mean, as far as mentoring, helping out in a specific area, no, nothing there. Last thing is the top two motivators. Real quickly on the motivators, they are, I'm not going to read them all out, what the definitions of them are. On your slides, the effective team communications on slides. Starting on slide 19, they define what all of the motivators are, but it's important, and this is going to be tough for you, okay, or not going to be, can be tough for you, because not everyone's motivated by the same things, all right, in recruiting, you know, a lot of people are motivated by the competition, wanting to get the awards. Okay, that's great. That works well for them. But there's a lot of people that can care. They care less. You know, if I get the award, great. If I don't, doesn't really matter to me. Okay. So when they have different competitions or internal stuff, if it's just about highest production. For some people, that will not motivate them. As a flight chief, you've got to be creative, okay? So when it comes to someone that's driven by, I'm going to pick out social. Another big one is, you know, time off. Well, for some of your highly driven people, if you say, hey, you know, if you do this, you get the day off Friday. But if they're driven and they're trying to achieve for being up on the stage, is a day off a good thing for them necessarily?
No.
No. I'll tell you, in the commercial world, time off is a demotivator nearly. When you got these salespeople we deal with that are on commission only, if they're not working, guess what?
They ain't making
money. So time off is not necessarily a good motivator. But for instance, let's say you know somebody's social, which is a drive for others. You're motivated by helping others. And a really high social, think of that as a Mother Teresa, willing to help anybody at any time for any reason. They will take the shirt off their back to help somebody, even at their expense. Okay? That person is probably going to be involved in some kind of charity, some kind of giving program, okay? So as opposed to taking a day off, it may be, hey, you know what? If you make your monthly goal by the 25th, the last Friday of the month, I know you're really involved in Habitat for Humanity. On Friday, that last Friday of the month, you've made goal by the 25th. I'll go ahead and give you off, and you can go out and work on Habitat for Humanity. Did that mean something to that person?
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be. That may be their one thing. Maybe Meals on Wheels, you know? Hey, you know what? If you've made goal by the 25th on last Friday of the month. I'll let you off and you can go out and do your Meals for Wheels deliveries. So again, as a flight chief, someone that is not driven by competition, by what we call individualistic, which is power, control, recognition, things like that. If they're not driven by that, then you've got to, can you motivate them money-wise? No, not really. I don't know. I don't know if gift cards are still legal. At one time, I know some flight chiefs, you know, that buy like a $10 Applebee's or something so they could go get free lunch or stuff. You know, I think that's still okay, but don't quote me on that. Check with your resources first. But again, the important thing though is to find out what really motivates them, and then figure out a way to use that to your advantage to get the most out of that person.
Okay.
Any questions on that? All right. Any questions at all about the tools that we've gone over? I will tell you, there is a new cheat. You might have already seen the email, and it doesn't work. We're working on that. It wasn't whitelisted. We thought it was. Did y'all get the email about the debriefs?
I don't know.
Have y'all seen that email yet? Your assessment debrief with one of our Brooks Group consultants? No? Okay.
I think so.
Well, that's a good thing then, because the site, the scheduling site, we're working on getting it whitelisted. What you're going to see coming out very soon is, as part of the contract, it's already included. It hadn't been used in the past. We really want to push it. Is we have a team of trained assessment experts. They're consultants for us. You're going to have the opportunity where you can actually schedule a 30-minute one-on-one debriefing with one of them to go over your assessments in detail, yours and yours only, with them. We'll also have a 60-minute team debriefing available, where we can get a couple of you, and like if you're having trouble with the recruiter or you're not sure about really what way to go, the consultant will be able to look at your guys' assessments, compare them, and find out, identify areas to help you communicate better, engage better with your recruiters. Okay? Like I said, that's going to be coming out very soon. We've just got to get the scheduling site whitelisted. Right now, the site, we tried to run a test on it this week, and they couldn't access the site. So we're going to get that whitelisted, and that's going to be another tool available. So what that means to you is you don't have to be a TriMetrics expert. Okay, we don't expect you to be a TriMetrics expert. We don't train you to be an expert. We try to give you some of these easy-to-use tools and an understanding of TriMetrics, but if you really want a deep dive on yourself or one of your recruiters, the recruiters will also have the opportunity to do an individual debrief with the consultant to better understand their assessment. It's not just for the leaders. It'll be anyone in RS. That is coming soon. Okay. The other thing is... June, like I said, I don't want to do it by telephone. I want it by webinar. It's much more effective where we can see each other, communicate through Skype. We have a new program that was just rolled out to the reserve with the last Flight Chief Phase 1 course in February, I think it was, March, February, Coaching to Impact. And included in that is a coaching guide. We're going to try to make it as easy as possible for you to effectively be able to coach your recruiters by providing you with this guide. And we're going to walk through that, show you how to use it. It simplifies it. It's much easier to use. And it gives you basically step-by-step to more effectively coach. All right? So those are a couple things coming up on the horizon. Let's see. I think that's it. So as always, if you need anything, if you want additional things to happen, go through our SOT, all right? If there is training you think that your recruiters could really use, especially topics, specific training topics, let our SOT know. Part of the contract is we help them develop different training materials. They develop a lot, but we also assist with that. So if you have things that, hey, you know what, the recruiters could really use specific training in this, let our SOT know, okay? What I do need to do to make sure everyone gets credit for this, send me an email. It's gbarnes, G-B-A-R-N-E-S, gbarnes, at the Brooks Group, all one word, thebrooksgroup.com. And on your email, just make sure you include the phone number that you called in from. If it's different from the number that you registered, that's fine. I don't care. The registration just helps us gauge how many people. What's important, though, is our phone system. I can validate the phone number you called in from to make sure you get credit for attendance here, because I have to send this roster to RSOT tomorrow. So try to get me an email either this evening or tomorrow, and hey, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Hey, I was on the call. As long as it's got your name and phone number, that's all I need. All right? Anyone else? Does anyone need that address again?
One more time.
All right. G Barnes, G-B-A-R-N-E-S, at the Brooks Group, all one word, .com. All right, and if y'all need anything, you have questions afterwards, questions come up on here and you didn't want to ask, you didn't think to ask them at this time, feel free to email me. part of my job, I'm available to assist you guys as I can. If it's something I have to refer to RSOT, I will, but generally I will try to address it myself right here. So thank you all again, appreciate it. Any questions, concerns, just let me know. And good hunting. How y'all doing on goal this year? I honestly have not paid attention.
Excellent.
Excellent? Good. Good, good, good. Keep it, what, how many years in a row is it now?
Let's be honest.
Huh? Do what?
I think it's 17.
Someone said to be honest.
I know, it's only someone says to be honest.
17. All right, we'll keep it going. And thank you all again, and we'll talk to you soon. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.